Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. How influential is Christianity in society today? Well, we're going to talk about that with a Baylor University professor, Dr. Byron Johnson. A new survey finds that religion in America, which would mean for the most part Christianity and Judaism, is losing influence, and that most Americans feel bad about that. Dr. Johnson, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's always good to be back on your show.
And I'll tell you what, before we get into the meat of this research, which comes from the Pew Research Center, tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Baylor, because I think it's exciting.
Sure.
What that program is going on in Texas there.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a lot of places where you can find religion being studied at universities, but typically it's an individual or a professor and a grad student that run a little research enterprise that looks at religion and how influential religion is or isn't. Ours is a different operation where we have seven distinguished professors that work in our institute. We have research professors besides those, and then we have postdocs. So we've created quite a muscular operation completely dedicated to studying religion, but doing so from different perspectives. So we have an epidemiologist
now,
as one of our...
Yeah, usually when you use the word religion, for the most part, you are talking about Christianity, I would assume.
Yeah, for the most part, because Christianity is so dominant in America. It's not that we're not interested in Islam. We are, and we occasionally look at Muslims. But when you do a national survey with Gallup, which is the organization that we normally work with, and you do a sample of the country, you're not going to have enough in your sample that are Muslims to do anything significant with the data. And so that's why you'd have to do an oversample to identify more Muslims or more Jews so that you could do a study on those that's actually reliable.
All right. Now, I've got a magazine article here from Newsmax, December 2014. And this is under the category of faith. America's fading faith. Over 70% say religion is losing its influence on American life, study finds. Let's start and ask you about that. Do you see that general trend as well in your research?
No. No, we don't. And I think what you find there, though, is that there are these ongoing reports by the media that indicates religion is declining. So any possible study, let's say you come out with a study and you have 15 findings, and one of those findings, depending on how you look at the data, you could argue that maybe there's some decline here or there. That's the study finding that the media will talk about, in spite of all the other findings that would show something different. So most of the secular media is looking for something that shows religion is declining, and so that's why you hear all these reports about the growth of atheism. But much to the chagrin of most of the media, atheism has remained flat for over seven decades. 4% of Americans fall into that category. It hasn't changed.
Are you sure about that? I mean, they're so vocal, and they're on TV, and they have...
Yeah.
You know, they're part of the
elite. Selling books.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is why people are confused. No, atheism, I mean, if atheism were on the rise, it would be such a phenomenal story. But instead, since it isn't, they have to do what they can to make us believe that it is. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't live in a secular world. Obviously, you'd be blind not to know that that we have a secular society. But the reality is, we have a religious society as well. It's very vibrant.
Hmm.
And so this study that's received so much attention doesn't say that religion's lost its influence. It says that a majority of Americans thinks it has.
Let me quote a little bit from it, and then you can elaborate further.
Mm-hmm.
This is, again, Newsmax. A new survey by the Pew Research Center reports that 72% of Americans now believe religion is losing its influence on American life. That's a sharp jump since 2002 when 52% held that view. So Pew is not saying America's that religion is losing its influence. Pew is saying that 72% of Americans believe that religion is losing its influence on American life.
Yeah, of course.
And you don't dispute that?
No, I don't dispute that finding
okay.
at all.
Okay.
I mean, I think you know, in general, I like most of what Pew puts out in terms of their research. But I think what happens then is people take their research and misinterpret it. And so there will be plenty that will say religion has lost its influence. That's not what they're saying. They're saying a lot of people believe that it has. And so there's a big difference there. You know, a lot of people think Seattle should have won the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter. They didn't. If you want to look at who's going to church and how important people, you know, who believes in God, about 95% of the population.
Still.
And yeah, still. So Americans believe. Now, does that mean that they also at the same time could say, you know, I believe it's losing its influence? Well, if you watch television and you see what's on television, then it's easy to understand why someone would make a statement like 70% just did.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, if you look at religious freedom or what we call religious liberty, religious freedom is under attack all across the globe.
Yes.
And also here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But if you asked everyday people in the pews, do you know that religious freedom is being restricted? I don't know that people would be able to say yes to that question. And so that we do surveys all the time. It's very intriguing. But what you won't hear very often is that the not just the majority of Americans, most all Americans believe in God, believe that God is important, and those kind of numbers are still right up there where they've always been. And then this issue of church attendance, which also I think has been hijacked. You know, people don't believe. You hear now the millennials don't go to church. And the backbone of the church, long known to be women, when men haven't attended, women still have. And now we're hearing from certain researchers that women are abandoning the faith. These findings are totally inaccurate.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's parse this. Okay. Let's go through this. First of all, what percentage of Americans approximately would themselves claim to be Christian?
Well. Not all of them would claim to be Christian, but again, here you would have a majority of Americans that would identify that. When you ask people how they identify themselves, it gets a little weird. For example, some people would say, I'm an evangelical. Some people would say, I'm Christian. Some people would say, you know, I'm Pentecostal. I'm charismatic. I'm Catholic. They have so many different ways of self-identifying. Let's say someone attends an Assembly of God church. We don't know if they're going to say they're charismatic, they're Pentecostal, or the evangelical.
Or Christian,
you know? And so you give them so many categories on a survey to pick. And so it gets a little bit complicated when you're trying to figure out. But when you look at it on the whole, these numbers have been strong for decades. Now, it is true that people are attending, or at least they say they attend less often, slightly less often than they used to, and people are definitely less likely to indicate they prefer a denomination. So let's just say I was raised as a Presbyterian. My parents were Presbyterian. I was raised as a Presbyterian. If I were asked on a survey, am I a Presbyterian, I might be attending a non-denominational church now. And I wouldn't mark that I'm a Presbyterian. That's actually happened a lot. It happens among Catholics, maybe, who now don't go to a Catholic church, but they maybe go to a Protestant church or vice versa. And so a lot of people are switching. And some people, in fact, don't even know what their church is. They don't know that they go to Saddleback, which is Rick Warren's church. They don't know which category to mark it in. And as you may know, Jerry, it's a Baptist church. But a lot of people in the pews at Saddleback probably don't even know it's a Baptist church.
It's a Southern Baptist, isn't it?
It's a Southern Baptist church.
Yeah.
And so I think there's these uncertainties. You know, people say, I go to the Church of the Savior. Well, what is Church of the Savior? You know, I don't even know what it is.
You know, it's funny, when you think of Southern Baptist churches, There are at least some, and this is just pure anecdotal, but I can think of situations where they've changed their name and there's not even the word Baptist in it, and you wouldn't necessarily know it was a Baptist church, but it happens to be not only a Baptist church, it is affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. So it's,
that is happening more and more frequently. I was just talking to a pastor today from a First Baptist church here in Texas. And so in Texas, I think we have 1,845 First Baptist congregations. So First Baptist El Paso, First Baptist Houston, First Baptist whatever. So there are a lot of these First Baptist churches, and as you could imagine, in 30, 40 years ago, those were the largest of the Baptist churches. But now, over time, you see a lot of those First Baptist churches are not nearly as vibrant as they once were. And that is because the newer generations of Baptist churches, the Second Baptist, the Fourth Baptist, you know, whatever the name Baptist, or as you just indicated, it's not even in the title.
Right.
Now First Baptist is almost held against you because it reeks of tradition.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are wanting to think non-traditional, you know. And so as they think in a non-traditional mode, then if I move to a town, let me see, what church am I going to go to? I certainly don't want to go to that stiff church, you know, that traditional church. I want to go to something that's maybe, you know, more interdenominational or whatever. So the reality is there's all this competition out there, and we think that that's a good thing, that there's competition, that people actually shop around. But here again, secular folks will take that and see someone leaving a church and saying that they've walked away from the faith, ignoring the fact that they may have gone from a church that didn't stand for much to one that actually stands for quite a bit.
Oh, interesting. And, so they leave the first stiff church of the hardback pew or whatever, and then they go to some other church. There's a Baptist church locally that doesn't identify itself as Baptist per se, but it's my understanding it's part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and its name is Potential Church. So, I mean, that's unusual to me. So, anyway, we're talking right now with Dr. Byron Johnson of Baylor University. Dr. Byron Johnson is one of the foremost researchers on the subject of religion and its impact on society. And the website is Baylor, which, by the way, is BAYLORISR.org. You guys are doing a great job there at Baylor. In fact, I think this is almost, in a sense, the resurrection of Baylor, because there was a time about 10, 15, 20 years ago where people were talking about, oh, Baylor's lost, you know, it's going to go the way of Harvard, meaning that it would become liberal and no longer Christian. And that's not the case.
That's unfortunately the history of so many schools in America. You don't find schools that, you know, basically
start secular and then become Christian. It's the other way around.
Or schools that were formerly Christian and then they double down and become even more committed to the faith. You don't find that. And so I think it's an unusual experiment at Baylor. And I have to say, you hit the nail on the head. I think the last 10 to 15 years have really been good for Baylor, and they've turned the corner in many ways. They've hired a lot of top scholars that have, you know, they're committed believers, but they're committed scholars,
that's
too.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, let's go back to this Pew survey, which is kind of the cataclysm, or the catalyst, rather, for this interview. The number of people who identify themselves as nones, N-O-N-E-S, meaning a demographic category where they profess no affiliation to religion, their numbers in America have increased from 15% to 20% of the U.S. population in just 5 years, from 2007 to 2012, according to a previous Pew study. So this is something where some people are saying, okay, I am no religion. And what are your comments on that? Are these findings accurate, or is there a misunderstanding here? Explain.
Misunderstanding again.
Really?
So this is a very positive finding. It's a positive finding. For example, if I were to give you a survey today, and I have this long list, you know, it says, are you affiliated with any of the following? And so there's a list. It just goes on forever of possibilities for you to check. But, you know, let's just say you're looking for the name of the church Perimeter, which is a mega church in Atlanta. But you don't find Perimeter anywhere. You don't find Saddleback, and you don't find Potential, the church that you just mentioned. You don't find these churches, and you're looking for them. And the reason why people put none is because they don't see themselves represented. Because in our survey,
are you serious?
With Gallup, what we found is we asked people to, you know, select where you identify yourself. So a significant number of people check none. Two questions later, we asked them, do you attend a house of worship? And if you do, could you give us the name of that house of worship? And guess what? They do. And then we asked them if you could give us an address, and they give us a physical address. And then we go back and map those congregations, and what you find out is there are a number of people who would mark none, N-O-N-E, on a survey.
Yes.
And three questions later, we'll give you the name and address of a place that they regularly attend. And guess what? Almost all of these are non-denominational evangelical churches. So
This is astounding.
To say that that all the nuns, you know, are evangelicals. I'm not saying that. There are plenty of nuns, like my mom, who's now 83, and she's physically not able to go to church. And so there are people like this.
But she's a believer
in Jesus. All she watches are religious broadcasts. And so people like this that are not able to get out, and there are so as our society continues to age, there are so many more people fitting into that category who really don't have a traditional church home anymore. And so they basically watch a number of religious broadcasts all week long. And so the reality is there are a number of people that don't attend, yes, but again, the nuns have been equated with atheism. That's what's really going on here. The number of nuns is growing, and it is true. But what I'm saying to you, when you unpackage it, it looks completely different. And since these people are not able to say atheism is growing, they're basically saying, but look what happens. These people say none, and by implication, they're atheists. When in fact, a lot of them are charismatic, Pentecostal, Bible-believing evangelicals.
Wow. You know, this is amazing. Dr. Johnson, this reminds me of an old expression. The good news is the bad news is wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I think in America, it's a very pluralistic society, and we believe, and this is the beauty of religious freedom. Where religious freedom is allowed to flourish, all kinds of benefits happen. We now have incredible publications that show wherever missionaries have gone across the world and brought the gospel message, it's enormous impact on those societies. Literacy improves. Healthcare improves. Democracy spreads. The economies grow. And so this is it's one of the best kept secrets out there, that where religious freedom goes, so do all these incredible byproducts. And where religious freedom is restricted, which is what we're seeing now across many parts of the world, the economies are in desperate trouble. You know, no jobs, and there are a lot of despair and hopelessness. And so the thing about America, though we are a secular society, it's a place where religion is vibrant. And, you know, if you want to attend this church, you can. You want to attend this church, you can. And of course, in some places in the world, if you convert, you could be put to death for it. So what we want to see happen, I think, and this is a part of a project that we have with Georgetown, is to make sure that religious freedom is something that everyone can enjoy. Everyone has a right to religious freedom.
Hmm. You know, a few moments ago, you were mentioning how literacy increases in those societies where the missionaries, the evangelical-type missionaries and so forth, have gone. I understand, or I remember about a year ago, there was a big study in Christianity Today where a man's work on the study of missions, he found incredible correlations. It was almost like, well, if you want to have in a third world, you want to have a situation where you have representative government and literacy and improvement in the economy, then plant an evangelical type missionary 50 years before and you'll get that 50 years later.
Yeah, the author of that, of the study, is Robert Woodbury, and so this the work that you're talking about is the same that I'm talking about. Published, there was an article in Christianity Today talking about this important research, but it was published in the American Political Science Review, one of the best journals out there, bar none. And so, you know, this is an incredible story, and we're talking country after country after country. And so, so many missionaries have lived and died and don't even know how they have helped change the world.
In a positive way.
It's a remarkable story that we need to get out.
That's amazing. You know, it's almost as if the truth about America, even America's Christian makeup, is being withheld from us because, and it's also being distorted by the media. I mean, if you just watch the media, you would get the presentation or the idea that, you know, oh, you know, I'm the last faithful few. We're the last faithful congregation, you know.
That's right.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, you know.
Yeah, and I think that that for those that want to tell that story, they've been doing a great job, because this Pew study basically says, you know, Americans, a significant percent of Americans think that it's on the decline, and that's because they're bombarded. They're bombarded by bad news, and they're bombarded by miscommunication and misinterpretation of results.
But it seems as if that the majority also feel that religion should have more influence.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is.
Isn't that interesting? So why would they say that? That's because they believe. You know, they're believers. They want religion to matter, but based on what they're hearing, and sometimes they're hearing this from the pulpits in their own church.
Yeah. Well, you it's know, like the, just to use a quick example, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you, since you deal with statistics, you live and die by statistics in some ways, it's terrible that in many pulpits they would say 1 out of 2 marriages in America end in divorce, because that has been shown to be not true. It's statistically not accurate. It was blown out of proportion and so forth. And thankfully, the scene of marriage is a better situation. Of course, lately, a lot of people aren't even choosing to get married, partly because they believe that myth. You know.
Yes. You're exactly right.
Wow. So, again, we're talking with Dr. Byron Johnson of Baylor University, BaylorISR.org. Let me say this. According to this new Pew study that we have opened the program with, only 27% of atheists feel that they are discriminated against, compared to 31% of evangelical Christians who say that there's a lot of discrimination against them in America.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I think that that's one of the findings. I would be more interested in delving deeper into it. Who are the people that feel that they are discriminated against, and why? And it's an interesting thing to me, because I think if one is very public with one's faith, it's going to put you in a position where you're probably going to run into some pushback.
Right.
And I think there's a sense in which today, here's the attitude in America: it's fine to be religious, just keep it to yourself. In other words, keep it private. It's the privatization of faith.
Yeah.
We're not opposed to faith. We just think it should be private. And, of course, I think a lot of believers would say that's a contradiction. That's the last thing I want to do, is to keep it private. There's a longing and even a compelling to share my faith with others. And, you know, if you ask me what an evangelical is, we scholars kind of identify evangelicals in certain ways, and one of the key ways you identify someone that's an evangelical is the need to share their faith.
Right.
That's a part of it.
Yep.
And so, you know, for those out there who would say, yes, I'm a Christian, and no, I don't ever feel like I'm discriminated against. It'd be interesting to see how public they are with their faith.
Sure. It's almost like, just using the military as a quick example, you used to have don't ask, don't tell when it came to homosexuals. Now homosexuals are freely out of the closet, and in a sense, the Christians are in a position of don't ask, don't tell, essentially.
Right. Yeah, yeah, some of this stuff you can't make it up. But I know I experienced discrimination myself in the academic community. I know for years I was an outspoken Christian on campus, in secular campuses, and I was always finding myself in trouble.
Hmm.
So, again, it's this idea that, and I think a lot of Christians fell for this too, that I'm, especially academic, that, you know, if I'm completely neutral on everything, that's where I need to be. That serves my students well. And I would always challenge people, exactly how are you serving your students well by them not understanding where you're coming from? And
But you experienced pushback when you were teaching at Princeton or teaching at University of Pennsylvania.
Well, early in my career, when I was at University of Memphis, of course, they let me go. They fired me.
Oh.
Yeah, I was fired. It wasn't about my scholarship. It was all about the fact that I was very public with my faith. And, you know,
that was in the Bible Belt, and that was more than 15 years ago.
Yeah, that was over 20 years ago. And,
wow.
You know, I was asked to leave, and, you know, I thought my career was over. But little did I know that my career would just be taking off, because I was quickly hired by another university, and I just kept doing research and more research. And then, you know, before long, I wound up at Vanderbilt, and then I wound up at Penn, and, you know, most recently, of course, I have come to Baylor. So Baylor is the first faith-based institution, you know, where I've really worked. But prior to that, I was in hostile territory, to say the least.
Sure. What percentage of Americans would you say are evangelicals or identify themselves as evangelicals, approximately?
Well, we come up with a finding of about 100 million. And
that's about a third of the country.
Yeah, yeah. Because there are different ways of looking at it. A, you can self-identify. We didn't find
that's about that. As many people as watch the Super Bowl.
That's exactly right. So you know, if you look at people who say, you know, I believe the Bible is authoritative. I believe it's important to share my faith, and I believe that Jesus, you know, brings us salvation. If you believe those kinds of things, those are kind of three non-negotiables.
Yes.
For what we would define as an evangelical. And if you look at those categories and you look at how people respond to surveys, our research leads us to believe that about 100 million Americans would fall into that category.
That's amazing.
That's a huge, huge category. And so I think that, again, that's why politicians want these voters, and I think that you always see politicians trying to make sure they say the right things. And
well, you know, it's funny, in early 2012, sorry for interrupting, I wrote a column where I quoted Santorum, President Obama, Romney, and two or three other, Newt Gingrich and some others that were, you know, running in early 2012. And I said, who said this? And I had the five different quotes or whatever, and they were all about Jesus. Oh, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior and Lord and da-da-da. And, you know, try and match the politician with the other. And one of the best ones was Obama's.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And they all said it. I mean, every single one of them. It's like they, like you say, they realize to get ahead, you have to pretend. Well, in some cases it's real, but you have to profess faith in Jesus. Well, we're basically out of time. I'll give that website one more time and ask you for a 15-second closing thought. BaylorISR.org. How about a closing thought? Religion's influence in America.
Well, you know, picture this. Picture America without religion. You can't, because it would be a devastating place to live. I study crime, as you know,
More God, less crime, one of your books.
Yeah, it's the counterfactual. Where would we be without houses of worship? And let me tell you, America would be a completely different place, a place you wouldn't recognize, a place that would have so much more hardship. I mean, these houses of worship that are often criticized bring such value to our communities. It's tragic that we don't give them more credit for what they do. There's a halo effect, and that's one of the things that we need to do a better job of studying. The impact of these houses of worship on the communities that they serve is phenomenal, both economically as well as spiritually.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. God
bless.
Thank you,
Jerry.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.